Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, children, Black Hole Radio is proud to present Mother's Milk. With our gracious hostess, Sister Samia Muhammad.
Okay, welcome to Mother's Milk. You're listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Muhammad, and I pray that all of you successfully made it through to the new year with joy and peace among you and your family members especially. I know many of us, I pray that we were reflective as we came into the new year. I know a lot of people that I started out the year of 2014 with did not end up with me, and I pray that those of you who experienced those kind of losses can find some peace in the memories of those people who did not make it with us. So that being said, I pray that each of us, as we move into this new year, see it as an opportunity to be more grateful to the Creator, to Allah, for allowing us to still be here. Those of us who are still here have a work to do. We have a work to do to bring civilization back to a world that has gone mad all across the planet, all across ethnic groups, religions, philosophies. We have totally lost it. And we, mothers especially, because we are the ones. They say you educate a man, you educate an individual, you educate a woman, you educate a nation. So you get the opportunity as this woman to bring about civilization, and that must be brought about in a world that has gone crazy. We have a heavy responsibility. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the sisters in the Nation of Islam that 75% of the work was ours to do. And, you know, some of us bristled at that, like, why we have to carry the weight? Well, we carry the weight because we were given the beautiful opportunity to bring life, to shape it. The man plants the seed, but we as women get the opportunity to be co-creators with God and to water and nurture and to bring about this seed into this beautiful human being who we then have the opportunity to cultivate, care for, prune it, and make it into this wonderful entity that the God wants it to be. So as women, I pray that this year, as we start off 2015, that we take very seriously our charge over our children. I have been watching very carefully what is going on ever since the verdict came down in Ferguson and the verdict came down with Eric Garner in New York, and watching with a degree of delight the fact that our children were not asleep as many of us thought they were. I was very worried last year this time, watching our children, our young adult children, who seemed only to be concerned with the material world and things and music and all the things that were very trivial. And I noticed that as this protest movement began to grow, that surprisingly, our children began to demonstrate how they were aware of what is going on in the world. So, and it brought to mind a poem by a man named Paul Lawrence Dunbar. I don't know how many of you have heard of him, because I know sometimes we've gotten away from our cultural icons and we don't study them anymore. We don't know anything about Zora Neale Hurston and those who struggle so hard to bring a positive image, an intellectual image to us as a people, as black people, people who were told, and the world began to believe through Hollywood's distortion of us that we were not at all civilized, that we were no better than animals. And so you had the Harlem Renaissance and the movement of writers who really tried their best to begin to show who we really were. So Paul Lawrence Dunbar was born in 1872. He died in 1906. And one of his poems was called We Wear the Mask. And it says, we wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt we pay to human guile. With torn and bleeding hearts, we smile and mouth with myriad subtleties. Why should the world be overwise in counting all our tears and sighs? Nay, let them only see us while we wear the mask. We smile, but, O great Christ, our cries to thee from tortured souls arise. We sing, but, O, the clay is vile beneath our feet and long the mile. But let the world dream otherwise. We wear the mask. And that poem came to mind because that's pretty much what has happened. We smile, we joke, we play, we act like we don't care. But the pain that has been inflicted on us is so great, and now it has boiled over. And I saw a sign, I think I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to keep mentioning it. There were a group of brothers who were Harvard medical students, and they all had on their white coats, and they had participated in a die-in that was sponsored by all of the black medical schools, and they all lay down in their white coats, and they said, you know, it's white coats for black lives. And but this group of medical students at Harvard held up this sign that said they thought they buried us. They didn't know we were seeds. So the seeds of the struggle that many of us have participated in over decades, some 20 years, some 30 years, some 40 years, have finally begun to push their way through the concrete, to push through the rock of the mountains, to stand up in the sun and say, I'm here, I'm strong, I'm not going anywhere. You thought you trampled me, you will not. And so I thank Allah, I thank our young people for being courageous enough to stand. I only caution them to read the history. You know, history versus rewards our research. Read. Find out what happened to the US movement, to the Black Panthers, to the Panther 21. How did they end up in jail? How did Assata Shakur get arrested? Find out, read, because this, whenever we make moves, have made moves as black people in this country toward our own economic independence, is when we have gotten vamped on by the society. We have been, our cities have been burned down, especially our schools. Whenever we put an educational institution together, they've come and destroyed it. So we have to be wise enough that when that person who is sitting among you comes up with the idea to take y'all way far afield from where you're going, know that that's an agent, know that that's somebody that was sent in by these agencies, and stop them in their tracks and say, no, we're not doing that. That's not where we're headed. And, you know, boot them out, because trust me, they've been sent in. If there is a clip on YouTube of a Gil Noble interview with a young man who infiltrated the West Coast, in the West Coast of Oakland Theater Society, and he talked about how he was in there helping them at one point, putting up lights, building the stage, and being a part, and then when he was given the signal, he burnt it to the ground. because they were about to get some kind of grant that those who were in power didn't want them to have. So they burnt the theater to the ground. And this was somebody who was in their gun hole supposedly trying to help. So we need to watch as well as pray, and we need to pay attention. We all need to walk our posts in a perfect manner, keeping always on the alert. We have to be alert. We have to make sure our children don't get caught up with people who mean them no good, who would only want to have them locked up, like some people who are still locked up, who got locked up in the 70s because they had agents among them. So that's a word of caution. As you all go out and lead these protests, make sure that they don't get co-opted by people who don't have your well-being at hand. They're not thinking about you at all. So be careful. Like I said, I'm very proud of the young people who are stepping up and stepping out. Keep up and keep prayer. Stay prayerful. As the new year came in, my family always gathers together because one of my daughters was born on December 31st, and we celebrate her birthday. And, you know, we will watch the ball drop and then turn off the TV and say prayer. And after we say prayer together, then we all give a testimony, whatever is on our heart, whatever we need to say. Sometimes it's an apology to people. Sometimes it's encouragement to others. Sometimes it's just unburdening ourselves of whatever was painful for us in the year or that day or in recent months. So we ended up spending 2 hours going around this circle of people, just everybody having a say of what they wanted to say. And I encourage all of us to do that. If you didn't do it when the year first came in, take time to do it at some point in the near future, because we need to unburden and forgive those who we may have had some words with or misunderstandings, because the family is what is going to bring us through. It has always been our attempt to hold on to family, to make family, that has brought us through. The biggest assault on Black people has been the tearing apart of family, the selling off of children, and separating husbands from wives and children from mothers. So we need to be about recreating that family bond and not being selfish in our desires and letting our physical desires dictate the fact that we should go and destroy a legacy of ours that has survived 400 years. So each of us have an obligation to make sure we create strong families. And mothers, we must pay attention. I'm going to keep saying this over and over and over again. Put the cell phone down, collect them when they come through the door, and sit down and talk with your children and let them talk to you. Find out what's really going on in their heads. Don't let a child just walk in and you say, "How are you doing?" "I'm good." "What did you do all day?" "Nothing." "No, I need to know. What did you do today? Who have you been talking to? What's been happening in your life?" They might not tell you everything, but keep that line of communication open, because some of our children are very troubled. They can't handle the pressure of being in a society that seems not to care about them at all. So we, as the parents, hug your children. Reach over. I don't care if they're 22, 23, 30, 40. Hug your children. Tell them, "I love you. I care about you. Call me." You know, my sons, when they, you know, they're pretty much all over the place. And I, you know, we have a group meet where every morning we, "Hey, how you doing?" "We're good. We're good." "Okay." At nighttime, I tell them, check in. Just say, "Mom, I'm good. I'm safe. I'm in my house." You know, because we never know. You know, we have to keep up with each other. Just say, "Hey, I'm good." You know, but talk to your children and know your child well enough to know that something's wrong just by their tone, and encourage them to pray. Don't be afraid to say, "Hey, go pray. When's the last time you prayed?" You know, I had an incident long ago with one of my sons. He was just, "Mommy, son, when's the last time you prayed?" "I said prayer this morning." No. "When's the last time you went in a room and had a communication between you and God? When you poured your soul out, when you cried on that prayer rug, when's the last time you did that?" I told him, go do that. I said, let your roommate know, hey, I'm going to be working something now, so you hear some crazy noise and hear me screaming, yelling, whatever. I'm going to go work this out. I'm going to go talk to my God. And encourage your children to do that, whatever your belief is. And if you don't have one, find one. Because trust me, that is what sustained us in our darkest hour. It was a faith that they could not shake no matter what they did to us. No matter what atrocities we saw, we knew that the God that brought us into existence was deeply rooted in us, and we called on that. We pulled from that. So let us continue to do that in this hour that is so bleak for many of us. You know, we have to refocus our lens. So let's not be so worried because I don't have the big car. I don't have the fur coat. I don't have this. I don't have that of material thing. But can you breathe? Can you walk? Can you talk? Are you in your right mind? Did you wake up this morning and you can remember who the person was standing next to you? And you can remember what you did yesterday. You can remember who you are, and you still have goals and you still have dreams. Be grateful for that when you get up every morning. I tell my students, I say, when you open your eyes, you say, thank you, God. Thank you, Allah, for waking me up. And don't start thinking about, oh, man, I didn't do this. I don't have this. I'm missing that. Be grateful. Say, I have this. I have that. I have my health. I can walk. I can talk. I can breathe. I'm not under a bridge. I'm living in a warm apartment. I got some place to lay my head. It might not be a feather bed with, you know, big, beautiful bed, but if it's a bed, clean sheets, you got a blanket. You're not freezing. Be thankful. Be thankful because every homeless person you see, there but for the grace of God go you. Every person that's diseased, there but for the grace of God go you. So be thankful for that grace. Be thankful for those who love you enough to help you and to correct you when you're wrong. Young people, correction does not mean that somebody does not love you. Those are the people who truly love you, who will say to you, come here, let me talk to you for a minute. What did you just do? What did you just say? Why are you talking to that person like that? See, those are the people who reach out and love you, and you need to be grateful and listen. Listen, young people, listen. You don't know everything. I, as old as I am, don't know everything. I am constantly learning, constantly reading, constantly trying to strive to know more about things that I have not conquered. So let us all go out as we start off 2015 and look again at ourselves, look at the things that we promised ourselves that we were going to do last year. Okay, well, you didn't do it last year, put it on a list and start it again. You know, I keep a list of things that I want to get accomplished. And every day, if I didn't do it, I put it on a list the next day. And I keep putting it on a list. I have some lists that I looked at, and I finally, it took me about 5 or 6 years, but I finally got everything on that list done. But don't feel bad. Don't be down on yourself if your timetable doesn't quite work out the way you think. Because a lot of times, the things that stop you from fulfilling your timetable, it has something to do with what the God wants you to do instead. So if you do that and you accomplish something different than what you thought the goal should be, it's okay. It's okay. So go ahead and continue to strive to make moves, to improve whatever you're doing. Some of us, it's just a matter of little things. I need to lose a little bit of weight. I need to get rid of some of the things. I have a desk that I've moved. We've moved like 4 times since we got to Georgia. And every time we moved, I didn't get a chance to sit and just go through the things that were in my desk. It's a roll-top desk, got all kind of little compartments. And I'm looking at this desk the other day, I'm like, this is not efficient at all. What am I doing? So I threw away a whole bunch of stuff that didn't need to be there anymore and had to label some things. I had to get things organized so I can reach and go, okay, I remember where that is. Because I've got a lot of projects that I have to finish. I started them, didn't finish them. So that's my goal this year. Some of these projects, I'm going to try my best to complete them. But now at least I know where they are. They're not lost anymore. So go back and find some of the lost things that you have not seen in a while. You know, I was amazed. I looked at some writings that I did. Like, wow, I don't remember writing this. This is good. So let me get this somewhere where I can share it with people. So go back and look at your life and go and see what things that you may need to tweak and make more priority in your life. And make your children your number one priority. Parents, make your children your number one priority. If that means sacrificing some of what you want right now, do that. It'll pay off in the end. You're listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Muhammad. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Brothers and sisters, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, and the believers cordially invite you to visit Muhammad's Mosque No. 7, located at 106-8 West 127th Street, Harlem, New York, between Adam Clayton Powell and Malcolm X Boulevards. Meeting times are Sundays, 10 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays at 8 p.m., and Juma prayer Fridays at 1:15 p.m. For more information, dial 212-865-1200. Once again, 212-865-1200 or www.mosque7.org.
I have searched all over the world for 100 years, preserving my life by eating this one small berry. What have I been searching for? Black Hole Radio. And I have finally found it on Blog Talk. Now I can die happy. Goodbye.
Brothers and sisters, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Henry Muhammad, and the believers cordially invite you to visit Muhammad's Mosque No. 7C in Brooklyn, located at 202B. Pennsylvania Avenue between Pitkin and Glenmore Avenues. Meeting times are Sundays at 11 o'clock, doors open promptly at 10, and Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. For more information, dial 718-342-1900. Once again, that's 718-342-1900 or www.MuhammadMosque7C.org.
Black Hole Radio, where customer service means the universe.
Black Hole Radio,
Now, like all respectable children, we return to Mother's Milk.
Welcome back. This is Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Muhammad. If you'd like to call in and talk to us, our number is 323-927-2913. 323-927-2913. One of the things that I've discovered that children are really fascinated by still, even though, you know, they will bristle and tell you they're not. But to be read to have an interesting story read to them. So I wanted to recommend two books. One of them is called Porch Lies, and the author's name is Patricia McKissick. And the book is a tale of about ten tales, and they were stories that were told by various friends and relatives of her aunts and uncles who would come by. And they lived in the South, and they would sit on the porch, and people would tell these fantastic stories, and she called them porch lies. I've had the wonderful experience of reading them to my students and, you know, getting into the characters and having them beg, can we just read another Porsche Life? And these are teenagers. So try it. Get a, you know, that try and get a book like that and just read it to them. Have everybody sit around and, you know, turn off all the electronic stuff. And if you have a, you know, in the South, we're blessed to have fireplaces. So, you know, put the fire in the fireplace and sit around and read the book. And let the children enjoy, let their imaginations run wild as they hear these fantastic stories. So one is called Porch Lives. The other one is called The Days When the Animals Talked. And this one was collected by a black man named William J. Faulkner, not the other Faulkner. And he says that he collected these stories the same way some people collect stamps. He said, and the stories of my black ancestors have so much importance and so much beauty that I want to tell them to the world. So he's considered a folklorist, and he wrote this book about the animals, you know, Brer Rabbit and Wolf and all of those people that, who you've heard it in some capacity or other. So that's another book. It's called The Days When Animals Talked, and that author is William J. Faulkner, and the other one I spoke of was Porch Lives by Patricia McKissick. Get these books and sit down and read some of the stories to your children, and you'll be surprised how you will the reaction, because a lot of times, you know, our children act out and act up because they want our attention. They want us to look at them and pay full attention to them. And we're so busy with life, just trying to survive most times, trying to get the dinner on the table, trying to get them, you know, washed up, ready for bed, get the homework done. And we don't take the time to just sit down and be with each other and sit around the table. The dinner table is a fantastic tool for uniting our family and building memories that really don't go away. Your adult children will come back and talk about, yeah, do you remember when we were sitting around the table and so-and-so did such and such, you know. And so it's a good tool. If you can, have everybody cook together, you know. We're blessed to have a home where we all can get in the kitchen together, and that's what went on the whole week, people cooking together and the older brothers teaching the younger brothers and the grandsons and the nephews. And, you know, so it's a good family come together and just cook together and eat together and play little silly games together. You know, my children were up till 5 o'clock this morning just playing a game of concentration together. And, I woke up and I'm like, is somebody still up? And then sure enough, they were still up. They were playing this game together all night. So, you know, that's a good thing. You want to foster that kind of love between family, because that's, in the end, that's what matters. That's what's going to be remembered. It's not going to be remembered that Aunt so-and-so had a fur coat. It's not going to be remembered that so-and-so had such a car. No, what's going to be remembered is the time that you talked together, that you walked together, that you laughed together, that you cried together, that we shared human closeness together as family. And that's what we want to be about in 2015. If you didn't do it in 2014, 2013, make this the year where you reach out to your family members and say, hey, you know what, we haven't talked in a while. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Let's see what we've missed. Let's catch up on some of the things that we've missed in each other's lives and force the love of the family, because that, in the end, that's what's important. That's what will last. We need to teach our children the history. You know, Asada Shakur's name came up because of the new so-called relationship that the United States is going to have with Cuba. And a lot of people say, well, who's that? They had no idea who she was, you know. So teach your children. Go read about it. She wrote an autobiography, and read it. See if you can get hold of it. You know, go on eBay and some of these other places and order the book. See if you can find it. and read her story. You'll be surprised of what she went through, you know. Look into the history of some of these places like Ferguson and Staten Island. Staten Island has its own story of what happened, how we ended up in Staten Island. A lot of people don't know. Black people went to Staten Island to escape being slaughtered when they decided to build Central Park. Our people jumped in the river and swam, trying to get away from these people who were just wholesale were slaughtering us right there in New York City. So go look up the history of Staten Island and find out how we got over there and how, you know, what kind of a place we created once we got on that side. So there's a lot that we need to know just about where we live, and we need to share it with our children so they'll be prepared, so they don't walk in blindly on into a world that they think is one way, and they're shocked when they find out it's not what they thought. So we need to be talking a lot more, pointing out, and go seek out your elders. You got a grandma still around, a great-grandma, a great-grandfather? Talk to these people, just your elderly neighbor. Go visit the nursing home and find out who's in there. Talk to these people, find out what they know, while they can still tell us. While they can still tell us. One of the original Tuskegee Airmen just passed away a couple of weeks ago. You know, my sons were blessed to be in a program where they were tutored by them as young airmen. So they got a chance to talk to these people and meet them and greet them. So seek out the people of, especially if you live in Harlem, if you live in St. Louis, some of these cities that were known as pockets of black culture. Beale Street, in places in Louisiana. Go check it out. Go talk to these people. Find out. Write some history. This is a good project for young people. Go interview some of these people and find out what really went on, so that we come up with an appreciation and a gratefulness for what we have now. You know, I came south, I think, in 62, maybe 63, as a young girl, and my aunt and uncle lived in Charleston, and then they lived in a place where our family had been for, I guess, 50, 60 years, and they'd been there so long that when they decided to pave the street, they named it after the family. And when I came south, they still had chickens. They still had, you know, their farm. It was a little country house, you know. And I didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't know who these people were for real. But we got in a car and went across the Cooper River Bridge to one of the Georgia Sea Islands to visit one of our uncles. And this man in the 60s had no indoor plumbing. I had to go use the outhouse, and I'm like, I got to go where? To go to the back? What? So we need to put that in perspective. That wasn't that long ago that our people were in terrible conditions in the South and in the North. Our children need to know that all this material stuff that they take for granted, that they discard with almost a hatred for it once they have it, we need to let them understand the struggle that it took for them to be able to wear more than one pair of sneakers. Dress shoes that cost $200, watches, all this stuff. We didn't have it. And because we didn't have it, we were closer to each other. We've allowed all this stuff to get in between our personal relationships with each other. So we struggle to be happy because we don't have stuff. We need to have each other. We need to talk and communicate and be honest with each other. Be more honest with each other. Let person know, you know, what you said to me last week hurt my feelings. And if you can't speak it without it causing a fight, without it causing a major disagreement, then write it down. Write a letter. Write, say, dear so-and-so, this is what happened. You know, can we sit and talk. Okay, if we can't sit and talk, then we just keep exchanging letters until we clear the air. A lot of times when we get into disagreements, verbal disagreements with each other, it's not so much what we say, it's the person looking at your face. They're looking at the fact that you're rolling your eyes, your head is moving, whatever little annoying habits we have, it exacerbates the situation. It makes it worse. So the moment your head tilts to the right or the left, the person stops listening to you because you already got them upset. So if you know that this might possibly be a roadblock to communicating, then write to each other and see if that helps. And keep writing to each other until y'all get the walls broken down. And then embrace each other. You know, when my children were younger, growing up, I was blessed because my husband worked and he allowed me to stay home. And so I was always there to hear, to keep a hand on the pulse. And I would always hear from the other room when the volume got a little bit too loud or when somebody called somebody out of their name. And I would intervene, come here, what's going on? You know, tell me what happened. And the person would always start about what the other person did. And I don't want to hear what the other person did. What did you do in this situation? Well, I said so. Well, was that nice? Was that something that you should have said to your brother? Oh, no. So then how could you have said that better? How could you have said what you meant without hurting this person's feelings? Do you realize you hurt the person's feelings? Yeah. Did you care? No, then you should have cared. So then you go to the next one. And you don't let the person, don't let anybody intervene in somebody else's talk. No. You had your turn. It's this person's turn. You be quiet. Let them say what they got to say. Then that person says what they have to say. And then you sit there and now is this really important? How important is this going on between you two? Really? And then I would make them hug each other. They'd be mad. Ooh, they'd be so mad at each other. I'm like, I don't care. You stand there and hug each other. I'll be back. And I purposely make sure I didn't come back for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. By the time I come back, they're usually giggling because they realize how silly whatever they were doing was. But I made sure that they never got to the point where they felt hatred for each other, no matter how annoying they had been to each other. This is your brother. This is your sister. Whatever you're arguing over, I'll throw that away. I'll discard it before I allow you two to discard each other. So those are some of the things that we need to enforce among our families. Don't, you know, our Elijah Muhammad told us not to call each other nicknames. And the reason he did that was so that we would always respect each other. Because if I can't call you Big Head, if I can't call you Pookie now, then I can't get angry and call you Big Head either, because that's not your name. I always made my children, you call him by the name we gave him. You have a right to call him out of his name or her name. You know, so enforce these things because it will strengthen the family. And, you know, whatever material thing it is, I don't care what it is. Hey, we can get rid of that toy, or we can throw that in the garbage. If that's going to make the two of you argue with each other and be nasty and mean to each other, then we'll remove that thing so that the two of you can come back together and be more important to each other as family. So those are the kind of things that we have to take the time to do. And we can't do them if we're not listening, we're not paying attention, or we're allowing our children just to come in and take their little phones or their games and go off, everybody go to their own corner, and they not have to talk to each other. Make them talk to each other. All electronics in the middle of the table till I say so. Put them down. Talk to each other. Look at each other. Look at this human being. Learn to see how a human being looks when they're upset, how a human being looks when they're hurting, how a human being looks when they're elated, when they're happy, when they're in love. We need to be able to see these things on each other. And we can't see these things on each other if we're not looking at each other. So we need to stop and look at each other. And we need to pray together. We need to be thankful together. We need to share each other's joy, not let any degree of jealousy stop us from sharing the goodness, the good news, the good accomplishment. You know, I never wanted my children to feel that I compared them to each other. I never did that. Oh, you should be like so-and-so. Because that was done to me as a child, and it was very hurtful to have a parent or a guardian tell me I should be like so-and-so, because 9 times out of 10, the person they wanted me to be like was the biggest hypocrite on the planet. They knew how to play adults. And adults would say, oh, so-and-so, so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, right, you should know what I know about him or her, you know. But so never compare your children to each other. Don't, because every one of them is somebody individual that God put here for a particular reason, to do a particular thing, to excel in a particular way. So don't say, oh, you need to be like your older brother, or you need to be like your, no. I need to be me. And you need to be you. We can take our gifts and combine them for the good of the family, for the good of the community. But I don't need to be like you. I need to be who the God made me and shine through that. So each one of your children, help them uncover and discover who they are and what they're here for, because they're all here for a reason. You know, Khalil Gibran did a book called The Prophet, and one of the talks that he gives is he asked his wise men, speak to us of children. And when I first read what he said, I was offended. I said, what do you mean my children are not my children? I gave birth to these people. But then as I matured and read it again and again, I realized, oh, yeah, they're not mine. They were given to me by God to do something with, to help him to bring them into what he wants them to be. So women, parents, mothers especially, you have a wonderful job to do. This society does not honor mothers. They exploit our love of mother on Mother's Day, so we spend money and make them richer. But they do not honor motherhood. They do not honor the idea of being a mother. We always want to be something else on top of that. That's the greatest thing you could do, because you get to create the doctors, the lawyers, the mathematicians, the nurses, the future mothers. You, mother, get to do that. So don't play yourself cheap and say, oh, I'm only a mother, or I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I feel... No, come on. Enjoy the job that you've been given to bring this soul, this human being, from a helpless state into a independent, wise, strong, spiritual being who can move out into the world and offer it something of good. That's our job. That's what we do. And let's embrace that more. You know, and let us not feel bad if something happens and a particular child doesn't quite go where you trained it up to go. Because then that's not you either. You know, nothing happens without Allah's permission, and everything that he allows and permits to happen is to teach us a lesson. So you look at it, okay, what happened here? What are the lessons for to learn from this? And how can I then use this to teach others so that perhaps they won't make the same mistake? So let us, as this year comes in, 2015 comes in, let us look carefully at who we are, whose we are, and what we have to do to make it better. We got a struggle ahead of us. The people who have had on the mask of civility, these white people, have taken it off. And their children, their own people, have to stand up against those who are such wicked demons. And if they will not, then they are no better than them. Don't get it twisted. Oh, are they good? No, they're good. They said it's good white cops. Well, damn it, they better stand up and talk to the bad ones and stop them. Not just talk to them. Have the courage to say, no, you're not going to do that while I'm here. Be willing to take that bullet if that's what you got to do. But then they're cowards. So they just comply with their evil, wicked counterparts because they won't say that. Hey, man, don't do that. That's not right. So, and we in the black community have to say that to our young people and our older people who are acting the fool. Excuse me, what are you doing? That's not representing us. That's not us. What are you doing? And then you start to teach them. Do you know that this one that this amount of time, this such and such a place, so that you can walk down this street? What are you doing? Don't be afraid. God is with you. You know, I was telling my children the other day, we lived on White Plains, off of White Plains Road in the library over there. I walked in one evening to pick up my children or to take a child to find something, and the library was in an uproar. Children were screaming and yelling, and the librarian's going shush, shush, and nobody's paying any attention. The security guard is busy over there flirting with the girls. He's not paying attention. And I'm sitting there watching this woman trying to get control of this library. So, you know, I say, hey, stop. What's wrong with y'all? What's going on here? I said, everybody's free. Stop it. Sit down. I said, do you know that just 40 years ago we could not go into the public library? Here you have the privilege to sit in this library to learn, and you're in here cutting up. If you don't want to be in the library to learn, then leave. But don't distract those who are trying to study. And they all looked at me like, who does she think she is? But guess what? Nobody said anything. Because I came with a God force at them. I said, no, you're not going to do that here. Go on outside if you want to play. But this lady is asking you to be respectful in this library. Be quiet or get out. We have to have the courage to do those things. You got to have the courage to lovingly say to the little brother whose pants are falling off, son, what's going on? Why don't you pull your pants up? Brothers, don't be afraid of your own sons. Because whether you gave birth to them or not, those are your sons. Those are your nephews. Talk to these young boys. Excuse me, come here. Let me talk to you, son. What's going on? You need attention? What's happening? Why are you dressing like this? What are you trying to say? Well, I think, how about if we do this way? Talk to our young people. Say good morning to them. Don't be afraid to speak to them. Say, good morning, how are you? We used to do that, you know. We used to talk to everybody. Nowadays, we sit, especially in New York, we don't talk to anybody. You don't even meet eyes with anybody anymore. But just say good morning and see what happens. Good morning, how are you? You'll be surprised. The reaction you'll get, like, whoa, somebody spoke to me? You know, I was coming home one day. I was working at the school my children were at, and I ran home for a few minutes, and I had to come back, and I'm coming back down the block, and there's nobody on the block but me. And then I see this young black man coming toward me. My first thought was, what is he doing here? And I had to correct myself. I said, wait a minute, how dare you? How dare you think of that of him? Suppose he thought that of you. What are you doing here? And I said, wait, that's not right. So as he got closer to me, I said, good morning. And this beautiful smile broke out on his. And he said, good morning, how are you? I said, well, you have a blessed day. He said, you too. But what kind of burden are our young people carrying, especially our young males, who are profiled by everybody, even us, to carry day after day after day, never knowing when you're going to be set upon by your own, by racist police, by anybody? So let us share love with each other. Let's talk to each other. Just say good morning. You know, say anything to the rabbit, hold your hand up. Let them know, hey, we used to do that. Go down the street, hey, how you doing? You know, this elderly lady, I walked into her one morning, and I said, good morning. She said, good morning. And this lady was so burdened that she just began to tell me all her problems. And I listened. And I said, okay, yes, ma'am. Well, you know what? God is good all the time, and I pray that he bless you to feel better tomorrow. But, you know, he's going to work things out for you. And she left with a smile. But we have to take the time to be alert enough to see that somebody needs a good word, and then just share it with them. Just share it with them. Just say, hey, you're going to be all right. It's going to get better. And give the people the hope, the courage to just keep on moving, just to stay another day. Your word may deter something. You know, I heard a story once about a young boy who took all these books home, cleaned out his locker, and another young boy saw him struggling with these books. He said, let me help you carry them home. And when they got to talking, it turned out the young boy had was bringing all his books home because he had intended on committing suicide. But just the fact that this other person said, hey, let me help you, gave him enough hope to change his mind. We never know when we become the saviors of our people. We never know when that word that you say turns somebody's life completely around. Sometimes people will come back to you. There was a young boy sitting on my porch in the Bronx, and he and some other boys were out there that were cussing and whatnot. I opened the door like, what's going on here? Why are y'all making this noise? Who do you belong to? Why are you out there making this? Why are you cussing? I'm cussing in front of my door. I don't allow that. You know, and we began to talk, and I asked him, I said, what, you go to school? Yeah, what grade are you in? I'm in 11th grade. Well, what are you planning on doing with your life? I don't know. Excuse me? You're in 11th grade? You don't know what you plan on doing yet? I said, well, what subjects are you studying if you don't know what you want to be? I don't know. I have no idea. I said, you're supposed to have known this by now. I said, here's what you do. You go home and you start thinking about what do you want to do with your future and think about what kind of classes you need to be completing in order to get that done. Lo and behold, about 4 years later, I'm standing on the subway in New York, and this young man walks up to me, and he says, hey, how are you? And I'm like, I'm below. Okay, who is this? I don't know you. I didn't remember him. He said, I was sitting in front of your house about 4 years ago, and you told me this, this, and this, and I just wanted you to know I'm at such and such a community college. I'm like, oh, praises due to Allah. What a blessing. Keep up the good work. See, so you never know that even though what you're saying seems to fall on deaf ears, there may not be an immediate reaction, but if what you're saying comes not from you but through you, from the God through you to people, you become the savior. You save their lives. You turn their lives around. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to reach out to each other and make this a better year. I feel the change in the atmosphere. Those of us who have some knowledge that we can share, go ahead and share it. And don't look for money. Don't look for somebody to give you something for what you're giving that's not yours anyway. The God gave it to you to share it, so share it. And look at and watch the blessings of peace, a more peaceful community, the blessings of just you finding out that, hey, you helped somebody, you know. So let us be, as this year comes into fruition, as we walk this road of 2015 together, study more, read more. If you haven't looked at the time and what must be done, go into NOI.org, look at it and pull it up. There are hour, each session was hours, 58 of them. Read them, listen to them. They were in the Final Call newspaper. If you have the papers, go back and read along as you're hearing what the minister is saying and study what he's saying. There's a wealth of knowledge there. Then go look up and go further into whatever it is he gave of historical facts and the places he spoke about. Go teach your children where these places are and what happened. And so they have a comprehensive knowledge of the time that we're in and how we got here. And how we're going to get out of the mess that now exists that we call life. Pray that we are more prayerful this year, that we love our families more, that we let them know we love them more. And whatever little things that may have occurred that are pulling us apart, pulling us away from each other, let's try to get rid of them. But be sincere and not be deceitful. And be grateful. Be grateful. Be grateful that you have another chance. You know, they say each day is a chance to do better. It's a gift from God, and that's why they call it the present. So be in the present. Enjoy the present that God gives you every day. When you wake up, and then go about completing whatever little goal that you can today. And like I said, if you can't get it done today, put it on a list, do it tomorrow. Can't get it done tomorrow, keep putting it on that list. Keep working at it. Keep working at it. Keep chipping away at it. You know, as a mother, we're constantly having to clean things. You know, and when you get into a room that is a mess, as you know, it's been neglected. It's got stuff everywhere. You just can't just jump in the middle of the room. You got to start from one corner and work your way through. And as you work your way through, you organize this and you move to the next part. And you organize it and you throw away things. And by the time you finish, you've gone from one corner to the next. And guess what? You've got a wonderful room. Do that with your life right now. Start in a corner that you know, this little piece of me is a mess. I haven't been taking care of my health. I haven't been taking care of my hair. I haven't given I haven't fed my mind. So whatever it is you need to start with, start there. And piece by piece, as the year goes on, as we get into the spring, just as the flowers blossom, you blossom also. You blossom into this beautiful person that God made you. So I thank you for listening to Mother's Milk. I pray that something I said has helped us to start this journey together of 2015 and make it a better year. And tell people you love them. Tell them often. And tell yourself you love you. Look in the mirror and say, hey, I love you. I love you. And don't be afraid to use that. And show it. Not with a whole bunch of things, but just with a smile and a touch and a hug. Hug each other more. Hugs are very good. They're very therapeutic. All right. I leave you this evening. You've been listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Muhammad. And may Allah bless you till we talk next time. Assalamu alaikum.
Now, boss. I remember when radio used to be just like this. You turn on the radio and you actually get something for your money worth, even though it's free. You had to pay for no satellite radio back then. You had good, solid radio for your brain, something that make you think. I remember. Now, that's that black hole radio, or Blog Talk Radio.